Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
The money, because they kept it quiet, probably was a mistake. They should have just owned it, told the people why, and said, this is why we're going to defend our shareholders, but we're going to defend our customers, and let's go have this discussion.
Currently, Martha McSally is defined at roughly 91% name ID. However, when you look at Mark Kelly, the place where he's most undefined or voters don't have an opinion is in rural Arizona. You know, that is not favorable to the Democrats. It's traditionally conservative.
The genesis of these lawsuits regarding tuition, constitutionality, all began when we won at the Court of Appeals and then at the state Supreme Court over the university's policy of giving tuition to people that do not have legal status.
We certainly appreciate the ruling of the appellate court in this matter. And it would be our hope that this would be the end of it. This has been a long, drawn-out affair that addresses something that the Board of Regents works on every day.
And with us to talk about the retirement of the head of APS, Don Brandt, and much more, are Marcus Dell'Artino of First Strategic and former Attorney General Terry Goddard. Guys, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Oh, great to be here with you guys.
Thank you.
Marcus, let's talk first about Don Brandt's announced retirement. Normally, I know, you know, Bill Post was well known when he left APS, but there's a little different buzz to Don Brandt leaving. How significant is that, and does it indicate a connection to some of the bad PR APS has been getting of late?
No, I don't think. I think that these things are sort of well thought out and well planned. And look, the timing is certainly interesting, no doubt about that. But I think it's I think everybody wants to sort of take a turn in the tumble. It's not an easy job, as the record clearly reflects. So I don't think it's one that you do for 20 years, and it doesn't, you know, it takes a toll. And so I don't think it had anything to do with what was going on. I think it was time for him to retire, go have fun with his wife, his kids, whatever it very well may be. But certainly the next, the new leader of APS has a lot of work to do in a short amount of time.
But Terry, we can't deny, of course, all the PR hits APS has been taking, and Don Brandt is identified as the leader of the company, of the utility.
Yeah, he was the leader when they made some very bad decisions that went in contradirection from where this company has been in the past. You mentioned Bill Post. You mentioned some of the previous leadership, very community-minded, and as a matter of absolute principle, instructed their people not to be involved in the political aspects of regulation. In other words, not to be trying to manipulate the Corporation Commission. And Don Brandt went in exactly the opposite direction, spent, we now know, $10.7 million of APS money, Pinnacle West money, but it's pretty much the same thing, to elect two people to the Corporation Commission. They did it secretly. They used dark money as the vehicle. And frankly, I think that's I just hope and pray that this is a company that now rights itself and comes out of a very dark area that Don Brandt led it into. I think he made a serious mistake, series of serious mistakes, and one of them led to the death of some customers. And that, I guess, is scheduled for a Corporation Commission hearing September 4th. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he plans to testify, but the fact that he's retiring now may mean that he's not going to stand and face the Piper for that.
He's still planning to do
that. He is still planning to go. Okay, I was not informed about whether it's going to happen.
Marcus, how difficult do you think it will be for Brandt's successor to sort of shake things up and maybe, at the very least, get on better terms, for example, with the Corporation Commission?
On its surface, it's not that difficult, right? You make a very public statement that this company is moving in a different direction. You make some different staff choices that signals you're going in a different direction. And you go in front of the Corporation Commission and you pledge to them that the company's different and it's under different leadership and we're going to make things right. It sounds really easy when I say it in a couple of seconds, but let's keep in mind.
So why didn't they do that a few years
right,
ago?
But keep in mind, like, there's thousands of employees at APS. There's millions of dollars, and it's a very electricity is not as easy as walking in and flipping on your light switch, right? It's very, very complicated about how it gets to your house and how it's regulated and transmission and et cetera, et cetera. So, but I, if from a very basic principle, it's pretty easy to fix this problem.
Terry, do you get the sense that that will happen? I mean, does it seem like there's a desire at APS to change and to move in a different direction?
I don't know. I don't speak from anything inside APS. I've been a pretty vocal critic for the last, 10 years. I do think very highly of the new president. I think he's somebody who has the capacity to do exactly what was described in terms of saying we're on the wrong track, we're going to fix it. He's just a really decent person, and I think has that. We could get back in the tradition. I do think there's a certain amount of a mea culpa involved here, though. I think the company's going to have to very publicly say we were wrong, we made a mistake, and we never should have, and we never will again pursue the corruption of our political system. You know, secretly, legally, but secretly, coming into to elect two corporation commissioners. I just think that's so wrong that it's got to be distanced. It's got to be affirmatively stated that this was a mistake. And as was just mentioned, the people involved should not be. And that's not just Don Brandt. That's other folks that were at the company that led this parade, probably strategized it, and I think took a great company into a very wrong direction.
Well, Marcus, given that Brandt is still scheduled to testify in a few weeks at the Corporation Commission, do you think there might be some of that at that time? Like, since he's sort of on his way out, does that seem like a time that maybe he would say, look, you know, I made some bad choices, sorry?
It doesn't make any sense coming from him. I'm expecting him to get sick on the day he's supposed to testify. If it were me and I was retiring, I'd suddenly have the flu.
I have an urgent golf date.
But that being the case, even if he goes to the hearing and he testify, that's not your maximum effect is to have Don do it. The maximum effect is have to the incoming leader of the company do it. And to that end, I'm not too sure that this platform, this specific hearing where we're talking about, customer safety and political spending and other things is the right place to do that.
Plus with Don Brandt sitting right next to him.
Yeah, it's just I would make that a separate issue. And tackle that issue that you've got to at the CorpCom and then move on from there.
Terry, to close out on this topic then, so obviously 2020 elections are going to be wild and nasty, maybe even the nastiest we've seen, who knows. So how close are you going to watch APS and Pinnacle West? Some of the strategists, at least one who was purportedly involved in some of this, is still with the company at a pretty high level. How close are you going to watch how involved they may be in the Corporation Commission race, what these ads look like and whatnot? Because you're involved with an Outlaw Dirty Money campaign, certainly, but generally, do you think that part of the mea culpa actually we will be able to see in a solid way when election time comes?
Probably not. The nature of the beast is that Arizona is more permissive of dark money, of secret funds going into politics than almost any other state in the country. I think they could put their finger on the scale again in the Corporation Commission. They would not break any laws. Potentially have a big impact on the result. Arizonans are more alert to this kind of a problem, so I think the mere allegation that they're trying to put their finger on the scale for the Corporation Commission is going to have a negative impact on whoever people think. But I'm afraid that, in its way, becomes a form of dirty campaigning when you can't verify who it is that's supporting various ads. And that's the nature of the beast right now in Arizona, and APS in the past took advantage of it. Now it's become almost a negative, and there are false accusations of dark money being used. So I think it's time we cleared the decks and got a clear disclosure across the board, and that's what I'm fighting to do with our petition.
Marcus, same sort of question, though. Would the mea culpa include sort of concrete examples of saying, yeah, we're going to give money, that's our right to do, but maybe not Corporation Commission?
It very well may. I think if they spend on the Corporation Commission race, we're going to know. The fact is, there's no secrets anymore. And even if, let's just say, Terry somehow misses the fact, which would never happen, that APS was spending money on Corporation Commission, there is a racist. There is 100 other people out there in Arizona right now, especially in the journalistic world, that are going to be focused on that exact topic. So they're going to be under a microscope. I don't think it's worth it for them to spend money on that race and try and funnel it through whatever various entities.
They have a target on their chest. That's absolutely right. And I think many will be watching. But bear in mind, this was not something that fate cast them into. It was a self-imposed liability that they are suffering from, and frankly, the suffering is richly deserved. They never should have done what they did. They've subjected all the ratepayers to a $95 million annual rate increase. Business and customers alike are suffering for that. Never should have happened, and frankly, just a mea culpa probably doesn't do it. I think the company has got to swear off any involvement in the future ever with the regulated board. And if they don't, I think the legislature will force them to it.
Marcus, we heard from two retired Supreme Court justices this week looking into problems in the state corrections department. Of course, Charles Ryan recently announced he is retiring. I'm curious what you made of the report. The recommendations seem basically, well, we need more funding. You need to check this stuff a little bit better. But they also kind of had some harsh words for the outgoing director, Charles Ryan.
Yeah, here's what the whole thing's interesting for me from this concept is that the legislature has had a line item in their budget for 20 years for door locks. And every single year it doesn't get funded. There was I shouldn't say every single year. There have been a couple years where door locks have gotten funded. But it's not like the department and the director have not been pointing these factors out of what's going on at DOC. Whether the legislature implemented those is a completely different question. But we've known that these problems exist for a while. This newest example, I think the report says it didn't get all the way up to the director. I find that somewhat interesting in that I think that they did know that there was a door locks issue. We've talked about it for 20 years. I think that there's some people out there celebrating Chuck Ryan's decision to retire. But at the same time, who's getting the better end of this deal? I mean, this job stinks. Let's be clear about that. There's nothing fun. And frankly, finding people to do that job is really hard. It takes a toll on your wife. It takes a toll on your kids. It's you are committed to this job. And so it's not going to be as easy as everybody thinks to find a replacement.
Terry, I'm curious, as you ran a state agency, I mean, what is the responsibility of the director in this case to really have a good sense of what's going on in the department?
When prisoners are getting out of their cells and assaulting guards, I think the guy in charge that should be the thing that wakes him up at night. So I guess I'm a little surprised at the report's allegations that he didn't know, or that he said that the first he heard about it was when a television crew actually filmed people getting out of a locked cell. That's pretty outrageous. But add to, and I'm not an attacker of Charles Ryan. I think he's done some very good things on education, on trying to prevent recidivism, the kind of thing that I think prisons need to do more of. But and not an evil person, but it's a very tough job. It's the kind of job that I think makes people somewhat callous. You know, you're dealing with really awful people, and they still have rights, and they still need to be. I shouldn't use the word cared for. They need to be confined in a way that isn't blatantly abusive. And I think that was his goal, but the health care problems in the prisons, which were very serious, led to some court actions that were then not observed. I think we've had a series of problems that are not way beyond the director. I mean, this is a corrections institution that needs a lot of help, but I think the point of 20 years having the locks on the agenda and not being funded makes the point. I mean, it had become a very, very dangerous place unnecessarily.
That's Terry Goddard. Also here with us is Marcus Dell'Artino with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. We're in the midst of the Friday newscap, which continues after this. It's the Friday newscap here on KJZZ with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. Our guest this week, former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard and Marcus Dell'Artino of First Strategic. Marcus, we love early polls. They're really fantastic. Especially, what
yes,
is this?
Do.
15 months out from November of 2020. It appears, based on one poll, that Mark Kelly and Martha McSally, pretty tight. Mark Kelly may be pulling ahead a bit at this point. I don't want to make fun of polls. I'd like to talk about them. But at this point, does it make any sense, frankly, to talk about this?
I'm glad you asked that question. I really am, because I think you're making the exact point. I mean, polls are fun for the media to talk about. It gives us a subject matter, and it's fun for the political, jibber-jabbers. But They mean absolutely nothing at this point because no campaign has actually been conducted. No messaging's been done. Nobody knows anything. Look, here's what we know about Mark Kelly. He's an astronaut, and he's married to Gabby Giffords. Both great things. I love it. But we don't know virtually where he stands on very many issues and what his vision for Arizona is. And Martha is clearly going to run a different campaign. She's shooken up her team. I think that was a wise choice. And so they don't mean a whole lot. But I will tell you this. What we are studying right now at our firm is the growth in voter registration of the different parties. And I will tell you that I'll be candid with you. The Republican Party's got a lot of work to do, especially in Maricopa County and Pima County, to keep that. It's not the straight numbers right now that you're looking at voter registration. It's the growth moving forward that they need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Terry, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Marcus. This is almost farcical to have a beauty contest poll this early when, as he said very correctly, the campaign hasn't started and people haven't focused on it. I saw two things that I would think would be very hopeful for Mark Kelly. And one was he's still substantially unknown by like 30% of the people responding. And Martha McSally is not. They know her. So I think Kelly is moving ahead, and trending is important. The numbers, hey, you could argue about a few percentage points. There's no way that's accurate, but 15 months from now. But the trending is important, and he's got a solid movement over the last 6 months that, frankly, is in his favor.
But briefly, do we expect this race to be nip and tuck, regardless of whether we're 15 months out, based on whether it's voter registration, based on the fact that the McSally Sinema race was so close? Can we take any of those factors as we look forward?
Oh, absolutely. But let me tell you a little bit more as we dive into this. Look at the amount of money these two have raised already, and it's blistering. And to give you some perspective on that, there's, 20 people running for president of the United States on the Democratic ticket as we speak. If you take all the money raised from those candidates, Mark Kelly and Martha McSally would be fifth and sixth on that list.
So they're in the debate.
So they should be running for president of the United States at this point. I mean, it's fascinating. Now, you combine that with what Senate seats are up in this current cycle and where the Democrats are likely to win, where Republicans are likely to win. Arizona is the number one target, and Mitch McConnell knows that and needs to protect this Republican seat to be able to keep the majority. Folks, you combine that with a presidential election, we are going to have more money spent in Arizona than you have ever seen in your life. Your TV commercials will be nonstop. I know they were nonstop last cycle. If it can get any worse, it's going to get worse. If you are in the TV business,
this is an awful prospect.
expect Christmas bonuses if you're in the TV business because they're going to be making more money, and your mailbox is going to be.
I'm not going to check my mail for the next 8 months.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned fundraising because after that poll came out, our email inboxes have become flooded with fundraising appeals touting some of those numbers. So I wonder, while it doesn't necessarily tell you where the race is because nobody really knows where the race is at the moment, what kind of effect does it have in terms of fundraising for either candidates or for outside groups who are trying to influence that race?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that'll be the other factor. I mean, the outside groups, to Terry's favorite subject, the dark money will be astounding in this campaign. But that's what you do at this point, right? You use that poll, which, by the way, the poll could be completely made up and be the worst science ever, but candidates are going to use it for a fundraising, right? So I'm only 3 points behind. Send me $50. I'm only 3 points up. Send me $50. Whatever the message is, there's a way to put an email together to get your $20, $50, $250.
Terry, let's move on to Attorney General Mark Brnovich and his battle against the Board of Regents, which has been going on for quite a while, various lawsuits. Court of Appeals this week made an interesting decision. Part of the decision, Mark Brnovich is going to appeal. And without getting too legalistic, but as a former Attorney General, tell us about the significance of what a couple of the judges said related to the power of the Attorney General and the work he or she must do with the governor.
Well, when I read the first part of the opinion, I was pretty disappointed because it seemed like they were making some very procedural decisions about a legitimately serious constitutional issue and an issue that if the AG doesn't raise it, there's a serious question about who can. So this is the whole issue about whether our Constitution that says university education should be as nearly free as possible is enforceable. And if so, what when have the universities crossed the line? And I think to his credit, A.G. Brnovich was trying to get that issue before the courts. And I think he deserves a hearing on that. One way or the other, it needs to be resolved. It should not be sitting out there. What the court did was first affirmed the dismissal by the district court, which I found unfortunate. But they did it in a way that essentially teed up this issue for the Supreme Court, because a court of appeals can't overrule a Supreme Court decision. They're bound by it. And the decision in this case is called McFate, and it's been around since the 50s. And it basically says that an AG in Arizona, McFate was a land commissioner, and he was sued by an attorney general, and the suit was thrown out because saying this guy, the AG doesn't have any authority in Arizona to do that unless the governor gives him permission. Well, that's really bad law. And what the Court of Appeals did was they basically wrote a brief as a concurring opinion, which says McFate is a terrible decision. It's time we got rid of it. Supreme Court, pay attention. And I think that was an actual textbook for the Attorney General to say to the Supreme Court, here it is for you. Your decision has been written. McFate has been screwing up our constitutional system in Arizona for many years. Let's have a clean slate and let the AG be what he should be, the attorney for the people.
Yeah, and Marcus, the Board of Regents, Governor Ducey has not liked the fact that Attorney General Brnovich has gone after the Board of Regents when it comes to tuition on this.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's a little tension on this issue, but certainly if you talk to the people, they fully support General Brnovich. This question, I agree with Terry 200%. The question needs to be answered. What is affordable when it comes to college tuition? What's interesting is, you know, I think, and Terry said it so well, is that when you read the initial part of the decision, it's you come to one conclusion. Clearly, when you get to the end, and Brnovich planned on it, that we've gotten to a different conclusion. I mean, Brnovich was almost crazy like a fox or smart like a fox. I'm not too sure. But his whole purpose was to finally get to the Supreme Court, and this does that for him.
So do you think that ultimately the court will be weighing in on university tuition once the McFate decision is dealt with?
The procedure will be, assuming that they buy what the three justices on the Court of Appeals say, repeal McFate as bad law and then remand to the district court for a real case, a real lawsuit.
On the issue
On the
of
issue
tuition.
That was raised by the attorney general. And he may win, he may lose. But I think he's entitled to make a hearing before a court of law here's a constitutional standard. I think that based on certain increases in tuition that's been exceeded, the universities will obviously come in saying there were lots of mitigating factors and we still have very low education costs in Arizona. That's a good point. It needs to be made, and maybe some bumpers will be established.
So, Marcus, when Mark Brnovich is governor, then presumably he'll push the legislature to increase funding to the universities.
I'm not too sure General Brnovich wants to be governor. I mean, he's certainly one of the leading candidates, but
Grateful Dead will be the state band.
He would love that. You know, he's a great candidate. There's no doubt about it. But let's also remember that, you know, he may want to go into private service and, you know, make a decent check and spend more time with his family.
And wear beautiful shirts like you do.
Well,
it has paid off, my friend.
Thank you.
And he deserves that.
And yeah, that's absolutely true. And there'll be plenty of Republicans to run. There's no doubt about that. But yes, if he were governor, he may get a budget that asks for a little more tuition.
And that is Marcus Dell'Artino of First Strategic, former Attorney General Terry Goddard. Guys, thanks for being here today. We appreciate it.
Great pleasure. We appreciate being here.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.